Hello, everyone. My name is Vitaly. Today with me I have... it's actually not only for the recording. I have Emanuele. We are both from Red Hat. We are from the platform development, so we are taking part in development like Fedora and RHEL at Red Hat. And today here we are going to talk about confidential computing guests, and in particular how you can actually make like confidential storage for it. Okay, so confidential computing has been a while since, you know, hardware vendors came up with Cocoa technologies, so I don't think I need to explain them a lot. You can nowadays quickly get a confidential VM, which is going to be called confidential, from, say, major cloud providers. All three big, like Azure, Google, AWS, they all give you this option, so it's basically click and you will get something which is called the confidential VM. But then if you look at what these technologies really give you, they give you like memory encryption, memory consistency, CPU register protection, but there is nothing there about the storage, right? From where your operating system boots, and you know what's there, it's all left to the operating system you run there, right? So like that, like whatever. And then use in a way that the host cannot actually read the key. Whatever you are doing with the storage, it needs to be attestable, I call it. So you are able to prove to somebody that you actually done that, right? So if you used like Verity on your root disk, you should be able to prove to somebody, say, hey, here is my like TCRs signed by my TPM. I can prove that I really used it this way. And also, like, last but not least, the rollback protection. Because even though if you're using something like encrypted on the disk, an evil host may try to roll back some parts of this storage for you. Like, a partition, right? Think about you installed an update fixing some CV, and the evil host just reverts it back, right? So that's also like a risk. Okay, so now Emanuele is going to take from here and tell us what we are working on, mostly like in systemd space, but not only.
Yes, thank you. So how many of you know what Verity, DM Verity is? Okay, some already. Yeah, just quick summary is integrity checking for block devices. Basically, it's enforced by the kernel. And it's basically making sure that the target partition that you want to Verity protect has not been modified by anything. And practically, this means there is another new partition created that creates a tree of hashes where the leaves in this tree are the hash of each block or sector inside the target partition. And then there is each parent is the hash of the hash, and so on, until you get to a root hash. And there is a rich support in systemd for this, for DM Verity. So there is systemd repart is capable of creating automatically this whole partition. Verity setup generator also detect and does this check at boot. And there is command line support like root hash and use hash, as we'll see later. And yeah, so the big downside of Verity protection is by design. Of course, if you want to maintain that the disk is not, the partition is not modified, it has to stay read-only. So it's you cannot change the partition to anything else once it's mounted as Verity. So you can achieve root with root hash. You target the root partition. And of course, it's read-only, and there is a possibility at the moment with systemd volatile to add an ephemeral overlay. Otherwise, there is use hash, which targets only the slash use partition as a Verity. And this is used in the hermetic user approach, which is the idea, as we'll see later, that basically the user you boot with only the use partition, which is the mVerity protect. So. Yeah, from the so we looked quickly at Verity, and now we'll look at encryption. On the other side, encryption LUX is great because it provides encryption and read-write. So now we can actually modify the partition because only Verity is pretty useless for a generic virtual machine use case. But the issue is if you want to have an encrypted partition, like Vitaly said at the beginning, each VM instance or volume needs to be automatically encrypted. And the question is by what? Like, do you need to trust some trusted infrastructure that encrypts it for you? Or like the goal of also our work is to enable self-encryption. So at the first boot, the VM itself, we start from something and it creates the partition, the encrypted partition. So, so systemd repart, of course, supports also LUX. There is the possibility to seal the keys to the VTPM. And there is integrity protection coming in the version 260. But even though full rollback attacks are always possible. And currently, there is also a new feature that to ensure that once you create an encrypted volume, it does not get replaced before it's been actually mounted and used. So maybe you want to add something more?
Yeah, I can elaborate a little bit on this feature. So for the Verity protection, for integrity protection of a LUX device, it's a built feature of like crypt setup. And it's there for quite a while, I think like 5 years or so, and it still stays experimental. One of the reasons it's experimental because there was no support for it in the user space, right? Not many users enable it. We want to change that, and the first thing we've introduced an option to systemd repart to actually generate Verity integrity information for the created partition. with fixating the lux key, it's quite interesting because think about the use case, right? You boot and you want to create a lux partition, right? So you're like, okay, here is an empty partition. I'm gonna get run like crypt setup against it. I'm gonna seal the key to the TPM with my current values, and then I'm gonna mount it. But the problem is that if you have like an evil host, it can actually replace the whole lux volume right after you create it, and also seal the key to the TPM, because to seal the key to the TPM, you only need to know the public key of the TPM. You don't need anything else. So how do you do it, right? So this feature like looks small, but it allows you to basically capture the snapshot of the lux key when you're creating it while it's still in memory. And the memory in CocoaGuest is still protected. And then you can be sure that you're actually mounting the volume which you've just created and not something else.
Yeah, so to continue, the goal is to put these two concepts together, so Verity together with encryption, to get the full read-write experience. So the idea, there are three different ways to do it. The first is very basic, so you copy everything from the Verity-protected volume to the encrypted one, so when you boot, it's too trivial, and also it takes probably time if we talk about the root disk copying everything. Then there is the using an overlay. So basically the idea is that you put, you still mount the Verity partition, you put an overlay that so that every write on the Verity partition gets redirected to the encrypted partition. And then there is this also this interesting idea of DM clone, which is basically in the background, it copies from the Verity partition to the encrypted volume. And while it does, you can still use the disk normally. So go ahead. Yeah, so as I said before, there are two ways. Like at the moment, it supports Verity. It targets the root and the user in systemd. So the with the root hash, basically you give the hash which should map to the root of the hash tree in the Verity partition. And it automatically, systemd is able to automatically found the root partition and also the Verity partition. So it verifies that the hashes match and it's mounted. But currently this cannot be combined with persistent overlay. There is only the volatile option, which also makes sense because in the general use case, if you have, for example, high IO workloads with overlay, is not ideal. On the other side, there is usehash, which only handles the use partition, and here is where we are working on to handle, like, we try to follow the hermetic approach. So you boot with only slash user as partition, which should have all the necessary files. It's DM Verity. Then the root is created by systemd repart and encrypted at first boot, which is pretty fast because it's an empty partition. And it's also handled already by systemd repart. And then you mount slash user as read-only because it's Verity, and then you add an overlay on top of it so that slash user is also writable, and the writes ends up in the encrypted partition. And this way the overlay only covers the slash user, which is should be better. Ideally. And then Vitaly will talk about the DM clone part.
Okay, so thank you. So like a simple approach to how we can switch from something which is Verity protected into something which is read-write and encrypted is to use like a file system overlay, which I just talked about. But for like Leonard is not in the room, I can say it. We have users which want to have more complex storage configurations, and they use something like LVM, right? So that's the thing is, imagine you have an image, like an operating system image on a cloud, which has like multiple volumes. You will need to Verity protect each of these volumes, right? And then when you create writable overlays, you cannot put them all on the same disk, because that's not why these people want to have separate partitions. They are probably following some guidelines or some certification standards, and these are coming from 90s, you know, where it's written that, you know, like, your var partition needs to be separate, your home partition needs to be separate. It's just like written there, and these users, we want this because it's written here, right? So you cannot put all these overlays onto a single partition. You will need to create as many overlays as you have partitions, and then the question is, how do you manage such storage if you want to give more space or something? It becomes like a nightmare. So we are also looking at the thing called DM clone, and I don't know how many of you like have seen it. It's probably not well known, but it's very similar to DM snapshot in the kernel, where you can take some like read-only partition and say, hey, I want to have like a writable overlay on top of that. The only difference is, not only, but the main difference is that DM clone converges, you know, so it copies the source partition in the background. So you basically can mount this device and start using it right away in early boot, and you don't need to wait until all the data is copied. But at the end of the process, you have a full copy, and it's also like read-write for you, right? You can get rid of the initial one, which sounds cool, but currently there is no support whatsoever in the user space for it. So you cannot have like etc, I don't know, clone tab, right? And describe, I want to create these clones on the early boot. You can only do it with like DM set up something manually. So we are trying to solve this. There is a proposal in like systemd again, where this has been discussed. Next, if you remember, I told you that whatever we are doing with the storage needs to be attestable. So we need to be able to prove to somebody, like in remote attestation scenario, that we're actually done what we've done, right? And for the verity part, it's pretty well handled, because if you have this like verity hash, say, on your kernel command line, that's going to be measured, right? If you have it in the UKI, it's going to be measured as part of PCR 11. If it's not, it's like an extension, it's going to be measured like PCR 12. This is good. Then we have a feature in systemd which measures lux key when you mount a partition into PCR 15, right? With machine ID, which is randomly generated, this makes it a little bit funny in the attestation because you need to predict that, not predict, but know what's good, what's bad, right? And it's okay, right? We can rely on that. But then, think about like self-encryption. The use case is you boot for the first time, you create some partition. Maybe it's like an overlay over your root partition or even like a data disk. It doesn't really matter. So on the first boot, you want to create it. You have an empty disk, you create it. On all the consecutive boots, you just want to mount it, right? And again, like you're relying likely on the TPM that it will be able to unlock it. But think about this attack, like an evil host, instead of giving you like an empty disk, pre-creates a partition there with a known Lux master key and gives it to your guest. And your guests now think that it's booting for the second time, right? The partition is already created. I can just use it, right? But the host has the Lux master key, so it can quickly like decrypt it and know what you are putting there. So we want to add the feature to basically capture the encrypting environment. To be able to prove that this encrypted volume was actually created in a safe environment. And I have a proposal with not many feedback so far, but I have some systemd people in the room who can help me with that. So the idea is, let's try to capture, do like a PCR quote at the time when we are creating the encrypted disk, and let's put it somewhere. It can go inside the disk itself, or it can even go to some, EFI system partition, for example, because it's not like a secret, right? It's a signed thing that nobody will be able to forge it. Then we can use it next time when we boot. We say, okay, like if we are not creating it, then there needs to be a quote which proves that this disk was created in a good, trusted environment and not somewhere else, right? One more thing is that even we have this like full disk encryption in the title of the talk, it cannot really be full, right? Because you need to be able to boot from somewhere, right? And like normally in UEFI booted systems, you have like UEFI system partition, which is just like VFAT, right? It's like Windows thingy. It cannot have like integrity or encryption or anything. So what do you do? You normally rely on things like secure boot and measure boot. And I see somebody like secure boot over there. It's not me who drawn it there. You normally use a thing called like UKI, right? Which you want to have signed and you have key for it, say in your secure boot database. You will want to have some extensions. For example, if you have a Verity hash, like how do I rebuild my full like UKI with this Verity hash, or what do I do? Normally, the answer is UKI command line extensions, which is based on systemd stub. It supports systemd stub supports adding system and configuration extensions, which can extend either like slash user or slash etc, so of your like initramfs. So if you want to have like customized initramfs and still want to make it like again attestable and secure, then you can use this and sign them. One more thing I wanted to talk about is using distro-shipped UKIs, because UKIs are great, we all like them, and we think that they give a lot of value when they are coming from your operating system vendor. This way you can avoid the hassle of issuing your own secure boot keys and putting them in your secure boot DB, right? You can just say, okay, I trust that my UKI is coming from this operating system vendor, right? And as I just told you, you can then use things like command line extensions and like system extensions to modify your behavior, to set the expected hashes, for example, or to even do this like self-encryption on the first boot. We also have one feature we are working on, and unfortunately it's not getting that much attention upstream, so it's been there for like a couple months, for the distros which use Dracut, and these are like Fedora, RHEL-based distros, but some others are using it too, you may want to hook some like Dracut actions something, and currently Dracut have them in like var, right? And this cannot be extended with systemd system extensions. So I'm proposing that we also have these hooks in like slash etc and slash user, so they can actually be extended by systemd system and configuration extensions. So this can all work effortlessly. And that was basically it. I know it's like a lot of features, something. I put all the links, I tried uploading slides. They were not there when I started talking. Maybe they're already there. So if you are interested, please follow. And I'm also interested in all the feedback. Do we still have time for questions? Okay, so questions, go ahead. I'm sorry. The question is whether it's like VTPM which ties it all to the COCO attestation. So yes, basically if you want to use a traditional operating system in a COCO environment, you likely want to rely on a VTPM, because that's the pacifying standard, let's put it this way, right? We may like it or not like it, but we don't have anything else. Right, you may rely purely on like hardware attestation, like the initial launch digest something, but that's hard, because this launch digest is what the measurement of your like firmware, and like how can you put your own firmware in a confidential guest house on a cloud, right? That's not available today. It may be available in the future when somebody comes with like bring your own firmware. So yes, this relies on the VTPM, and in this scenario, you are kind of like trusting the implementation of the VTPM. That if it's stateful, then you're trusting the procedure to basically preserve its state, right? And then it's up to you whether you trust some particular cloud vendor, how it's doing it. Some, they have different approaches. Some just say like, you cannot access the host where it's implemented, so it's secure. Some say, okay, we're going to do some early UEFI firmware attestation, and that's kind of going to get the state. But yes, it all relies on the BTPM. One more or not? Small one, yes. For integrity, that's mostly like this, like HMAC SHA 256 by default that's implemented in this system zero part feature, but it's actually tunable. Whatever kernel support for DM integrity can be used there. So basically, we are not inventing anything new there. So if we're using this age, I don't particularly played with it myself, right? Yeah, so.
Thank you.